from Isaiah chapter 36, verse 5. And I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? I want to use that portion of scripture there where it says, whom do you trust? What is it to trust? What does that mean? It means to have confidence. It's a resting of the mind on the integrity, the justice, and the sound principles of another person to trust. I'll give you a few scriptures. In Psalms 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. And it's either you're putting your trust in the Lord and resting in Him, or you're putting your confidence and your trust in man. Proverbs 3:6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. We better not trust our own understanding or put confidence in our understanding of what we think the scriptures say. Then Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Put no trust in our flesh, yours or nobody else's. Whom do you trust? We're going to rest and we're going to put our trust and confidence in someone or something, because man must have something to rest on, to trust in. I don't know where I can trust it or not. Can we trust him? We can trust him. But notice it says, not in what do you trust? It said, in whom do you trust? Think about that question. Serious question. Whom do you trust? That would be sad to think that you were trusting and resting in Christ and wind up one day and find out you were trusting a figment of your imagination, just trusting a false God. Whom do you trust? Here's what Christ said to people he was speaking to one day. He said, John 5:45, do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. And men are either trusting in Christ or they're trusting in Moses, and they're trusting in themselves, and they're trusting in the law. He said, even Moses is going to accuse you. He's going to say you're condemned. He accuses you as a guilty sinner. And you're trusting in Moses? And that's what they were doing, trusting. Like I said, I'm not asking in what do you trust, but whom do you trust? And the reason is our salvation is not a what. Our salvation is a person. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, for which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For now I know whom I have believed. He didn't say I know what I have believed. When he was in religion, that's what he was trusting in, a what? He was trusting in his pedigree. He was trusting in his descendant from the tribe of Benjamin. He was trusting in those things, putting confidence in it. That if you go back and read the first part of Philippians chapter 3, he said, I know whom I have believed. Believe is trust. I know whom I've trusted. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He said, I'm trusting him, not myself, not even my belief. I'm trusting in him. I'm not trusting in my faith because it's up and down. But we trust him who never changes. That's why he's asking, in whom do you trust? We trust in Christ to keep that which we have committed unto him. We've committed all our salvation to him. You imagine resting? We rest our eternal soul on Christ. We put our confidence in him. We rest our souls upon him. Children of God do trust in the triune God. They do. They believe. They trust. We trust in God the Father who chose us. We trust in God the Son who purchased us. And we trust in God the Holy Spirit who quickens us. So first look at God the Father. Our faith and confidence and trust is in our great God. We trust that the Father chose us before the foundation of the world. We were not there. We were not there. We can't see our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but we trust God and His Word that before this world was ever made, He chose and set His love on the people. Because He says in Philippians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved." What a foundation. Rest, He chose us. We trust in God. We trust in His providence. We may not understand why things happen, but we trust God that He's doing, working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. A lot of times the world, they mean things for evil, but God means it for good. God is moving all things toward the purpose of the salvation of His people. And He will provide all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Listen, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no anxious thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what are you going to drink, nor yet for your body, what you're going to put on. Is not your life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Consider the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." That's what they worry about. That's what they're concerned about. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for tomorrow." Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about it. We trust Him for tomorrow. "For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We trust Him. Trust Him. Men think that they can control providence or they can control God. And they're trusting in their own strength and ability to clothe them and to feed them. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Then something else. We trust the Father to teach us. John 6:45, "It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." We trust that God's going to teach His people. We trust God to teach us. If He don't teach us, we don't know anything. We may learn facts. We may learn the scriptures in our head. But we trust Him to teach us. And He will. Matthew 16:15. "He saith unto them, whom say ye that I am?" Talking to the disciples. He said, men are saying a lot of things. You can imagine when our Lord come on the scene, who is this guy? Is he, John the Baptist? Is it John the Baptist, or is it Elijah, or some prophet raised from? Who is this guy? But the Lord turned to the disciples and He said, whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hadn't revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He taught you who I am. And they all confessed that. He trusted him. Now, Peter made a lot of mistakes. He was always spouting off first, but the Lord said, nobody didn't teach you that, Peter. You didn't go to school to learn that. The Father I'm so thankful he teaches his children, and we trust him to teach his children. If they're his children, he'll teach them. He'll guide them. He'll guide them. He will correct them when they need it, and we always need it. He said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receives. And it can go back to him teaching us. How does he teach us? By correcting us. He says, don't do this. Don't do that. You don't need to go over there. It's like a little child. You know, we just run off and run around. All we want to do is play. He says, no, those that he loves. And it's not just we think of correcting as him just spanking us or something. No, he's teaching us. He's instructing us. He's teaching us that we need him. He's teaching us not to trust in ourselves. And we're going to trust the Lord. We do trust him. That one day, he's going to bring us home to glory. As he's standing there in Matthew 25, the goats on the left side and the sheep on the right, he said, then shall the king say to them on his right hand, all his children, those he chose before the foundation of the world, come ye blessed to my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Say, do you really believe that? I do. We trust him that one day he's going to bring us all to glory, and he's going to present us faultless before his throne. We're not trusting in our strength to make it. Well, if we hold on or hold out, he's the one's holding us. He's the one carrying us. Under us are his everlasting arms. And the trust? He teaches us. He keeps teaching us by his grace to trust him. By the time you may think you're trusting in him, and he'll let something happen and expose you and say, I wasn't trusting him like I thought I was. It's like the disciples, you know, they thought we're trusting him. He tells them to get into a boat till the storm comes up. And then they go down and he's asleep in the boat. And they said, do you not care that we perish? He doesn't. They actually thought he didn't care. But he walks out and he says, peace be still. You know what he taught them? I can calm the storm. I can calm the storm. So we trust the Father. And then we trust the Son. In Ephesians chapter 1, we already read the first part of Ephesians 1 about the Father. Now we're talking about the Son. Notice here how many times he uses the word whom. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Now listen to this statement. Who first trusted in Christ. Who first trusted in Christ? God the Father did. Before the world was made, you know, we try to speak in language we can kind of some way grasp. But the Father made a covenant with the Son. He said, all that the Father giveth me is going to come. And he said, I give you these. And I trust you to bring every one of them home. I trust you. And the responsibility was laid upon him. He didn't need somebody's help, but he trusted him. The Father trusted him. And if the Father can trust him, and the Father does trust him, we must trust him. Because that's what it said. Who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. Now, when did you trust? After you heard the word of truth. Man cannot trust in an unknown God. He cannot trust in a God he's never heard about. That's why it is imperative that men hear the gospel. I've never heard of a God like that. I've never heard of a Christ that saves. I've never heard of a covenant. Now you do. Why? After you heard. You trusted. And he enabled you to trust him. You think about this. All that the Father gave to Christ, he trusted Christ, they're going to trust him. Every one of them. Every one of them. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Trust him. We trust our Lord to put away our sin. in whom we have redemption, Ephesians 1:7, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. By his own sacrifice, he completely put away all our sin. Do you really trust him for that? Yeah, I'm not trusting myself or my prayers or anything that I could do. We trust him to completely. See, only grace would enable us even to believe that. It is so amazing. It's so amazing that God would put away all my sin. They're gone. And he put them away by himself. All men forsook him. He didn't need anyone's help. And we trust him that what he did, what he accomplished, is our hope. And we trust Christ that he will clothe us with his perfect righteousness. Well, we can't see it. And if we thought we could see it, it would be nothing but self-righteousness was all that would be. We trust him. Trust him. Abraham, he says, is the father of all them that believe. Trusted him. Listen, in Romans 4, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. How can this old man have a son? Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And it was in therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Abraham didn't trust himself. He's not trusting in Sarah. This man's 100 years old and she's 90. But you know, in Hebrews, it's amazing. It said, through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. And not only to conceive seed and become pregnant, she carried that child for 9 months, which is a miracle, and then to deliver that child and raise that child. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He trusted him. Men won't trust him. They walk in their own righteousness. They're trusting in the arm of the flesh. But listen. Now, this was not written for just Abraham's sake, that it was imputed unto him, but it was for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I just told you how God justifies sinners. I just told you from God's word how he can declare you righteous, not a pasted on righteousness. He's not going to call something righteous that's not righteous. He's righteous. And you say, well, how am I to believe? You trust him. Ask God to give you faith to trust him. On him. We trust Christ to be our intercessor. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. When many times we don't even know how to pray. We don't even know how to even ask someone to pray for us. He prays. I thought about when he said, all you're going to leave me, you're going to turn your backs on me. Peter said, oh no, I won't. Lord, he basically said, I trust you. I trust you. Lord said, Peter, before the cock crows twice, before the night's over, you're going to deny me 3 times. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, he was already a believer. That's not what that's saying. It's when he is converted and God's brought him to repentance, strengthen your brethren. How? He can teach you something about humility. God taught him something about trusting. You imagine how Peter thought. I mean, you know, it's like he didn't hear anything. Rooster crows, nothing happens. First time, nothing happened. Buddy, when it did that second time, it woke him up. And the Lord just turned and looked at him. And Peter goes, look what I, how can I be so stupid to trust in myself? He's warming himself by the enemy fire. Said, is that Peter? Yeah. But the Lord said, I prayed for you, Peter. I never read where he said, I prayed for Judas. He prayed for Peter. And if he prayed for Peter, he prays for all his children. Every one of them. You imagine that. He says, Walter, I'm praying for you that your faith don't fail. Our faith is so weak. And like I said, we don't trust our faith. We trust the object of our faith. When we sin, we need an advocate. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We need someone to plead our case before the justice of Almighty God. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession. He said, these are mine. Sandy, I bought you. I purchased you. You're mine. I'm your advocate. I'm your intercessor. I'm your intercessor. He knows exactly what we need. He knows what we need in providence to bring us where we do trust him. God, help me to trust you. To trust you. We trust Christ for what he is, what he's done, and what he's promised to do. And then we trust the Spirit of God. Only he can drive out our sin. You remember the children of Israel when they came into Canaan? You know what God told them? He said, you're not going to conquer all this at one time. And in Exodus 23:30, it says, by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. That's a picture of all those sins inside you. He said, I'm going to drive them out. But you know how he does it? He does it little by little. And he does it. Men think that by their efforts they can progressively get better. And they're not, they're trusting in their strength. Little, but it's little. And that's how it is. A little bit and a little bit. And what he's begun, he'll finish. We trust him to subdue our wills. Not our will, but thine be done. We trust him to control our tempers. And we trust him to enlighten our understanding. Listen, in Ephesians 1, verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. The spirit of wisdom and revelation, the understanding. Man's understanding is so darkened. Don't trust in your own self. And he gives you the understanding. You know, it talks about the parable of the sower. It said when they didn't understand, the fowls of the air come and snatch the word. But those who understand, why do they understand? He give them an understanding. The seed found good ground. And we trust him to comfort us when we're cast down. I remember when I pastored back in North Carolina, I would tell the folks many times, I said, you know, we say we believe that God's sovereign, but you just wait. And, you know, something happens and we want to comfort people, but really when it gets down to it, the only one that can comfort is he that's able to be felt with the feelings of your infirmity. I'll give you a few scriptures, John 14:16, and I pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. whatsoever I've said unto you. How many times, I wish I could remember scripture. But you know, it's right, sometimes it's right when you need it. I may not could just turn to it, but thank goodness for computers that I can type something in and find it. And he brings it back to your memory. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him to you. We trust him. When bereavement comes, we say, Lord, he'll comfort your heart. And he will. Because he will, the Holy Spirit will point you to him, to Christ, not to yourself, to him. That's his office, that's his work. And we trust the Spirit of God to illuminate our darkness, to guide us into all truth. And the only way you will ever trust Christ is for the Holy Spirit to take the things of God and show them unto you and guide you, lead you, bring you to him. Which one was it of the disciples? I can't remember. They come and they went to find their brother. And they said, we found the Christ whom Moses and the prophets did write. Said, how do you know it's him? Said, come and see. Come and see. We trust the Spirit of God, and I pray you do, to dwell in me as my life, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he reigns in us as King. And we trust him to sanctify and make us holy and represent us faultless. He said, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And one day we're going to see him like he is. And we will believe him. We trust him. On whom do you trust? Not what? Not how much scripture you know. Not a feeling. Feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. Now there is feelings, thank goodness. Sometimes your heart just leaps with joy, but if you were just trusting in that, you would be so depressed and so cast down. Sometimes I don't feel anything. Anything. I remember someone saying one time, it really helped me as the preacher said, he would go to a conference, and you know, people come up and say, boy, wasn't that a good message? And he said, you know, I'd say, yeah. But he said, really, you want to just say, I didn't get anything. And he said, sometimes he was even doing some of the preaching. But you see what I'm saying? God is sovereign. We trust him. We come in and we sit down, and a man stands to preach and deliver the message that God laid upon his heart. And we trust God to speak to our hearts. And we trust God to help the man standing. We trust him. Because if he don't, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. But I hope you'll think about that question. And that God would give you the ability to answer it honestly. On whom do you trust?